We're here today in City West attending the Schools Across Borders Global Citizenship Student Conference event.
I'm Rebecca from Radio TY and I'm here with Maggie, who's going to tell you about her organisation.
Hi Rebecca, thanks for having me. Today I'm here representing the National Youth Council of Ireland. So we are a representative body and we support local and national youth services all throughout Ireland. We develop resources, we train up youth workers, we train up teachers, and we look at empowering young people to question and challenge the world that they live in and to make it a more inclusive society, but specifically youth-led society.
Thank you. And do you believe the world is child-friendly?
I think there's potential for the world to be child-friendly, but I think the fact that you cannot vote until you're 18, particularly in Ireland, creates huge barriers to young people feeling like they have any power or any say. National Youth Council of Ireland actually have a petition at the moment to try and change the voting age to 16, because we think young people, as citizens of Ireland, have a right to challenge what's happening. They have a right to question what's happening, and they have a right to feel that they're involved in the political process. Whereas the fact that you can't vote, I think, often makes you feel, well, I don't have a right to say anything, but you are citizens of the country and by proxy of that have a right to question absolutely everything that happens and has an impact on you. Because anything that impacts your parents or your brothers or your sisters or your friends impacts on you. So if your parents' wages are cut, if your parents' access to social welfare is cut, if your parents' access to hospital or health or education is cut, that automatically has an impact on you. And I don't think that that's given enough respect. I also don't think young people's voices are heard as loudly as they should. I think often young people are not seen as rational or scientific as adults. I don't think you need to be rational and scientific. I think you have creativity, you have a lived experience that's of value and deserves to be listened to. But I do think that Ireland we're getting better. We have things like Cornanogue, Dalnogue. You have student bodies, you have representatives sitting on different organisations, and I just think young people need to start shouting a little bit louder and start using the structures that you have as best you can. So if as your student council you go and you're told no, maybe don't see that as no, just see it as an obstacle to overcome. Maybe just go, well, maybe we didn't ask the question right, maybe if we phrase it a little differently, or maybe if we offer alternatives. So I think there is potential, definitely.
Do you have any advice for raising awareness in our school about your organisation?
With NYCI, feel free to go on our website. It's www.youth.ie. And on that you will find our Twitter feed, our news feed, which updates you on where all of us are at any time, but it also has an abundance of resources. So the resource that I have with me today is the One World Week resource, which looks at the type of world that young people want and what they're willing to do about it. Each different theme, there's six of them, will give you 10 activities that you could run. So as TY students, you could offer to maybe run them with younger students. You could actually run them yourselves. You could also actually offer to run them with the staff, which would be interesting, I think, to see what their feedback would be. Or you could do a comparison that, you know, one group runs it with your staff, one group runs it with other members of the year, and then compare and see, were they that different, or are you both coming with the same concerns or the same awareness? There's a whole host of video links that you can use. So even, you know, play a 10-minute video in the morning, start a conversation about it. If you have general assemblies, maybe pick a theme for the year. So if there's something important to you as students, maybe whether that's equality, whether that's general human rights or poverty, maybe ask, is there potential to pick a theme every year and that each year focuses on it and maybe does a showcase at the end of the year? Again, NYCI will be happy to support you in terms of giving you resource, giving you trainers like myself to come out and support doing that, would be my advice. But again, just use the structures that you have, but kind of demand more of them, maybe.
What do you think is the biggest challenge to trying to get young people and adults alike to engage in issues like that?
I think the feeling that the world is a really, really big place and you are one person. I would have faced that many times, but I think the need to reinforce that decisions you make on a daily basis have an impact locally, nationally and globally. So if I decide to take the bus instead of driving, that has an impact not only on me, it has an impact on the bus driver, it has an impact on everyone else on the bus, because if I'm not using the bus and they cut the bus service, I can't complain because I haven't been using it. So a bus service or a public transport system is not going to work without the public. If I am then getting the bus or cycling, not that that's the safest in the city, I'm cutting down carbon emission. That has an impact, again, locally on Ireland, but it also has an impact globally on farmers, on agriculture, on wildlife. You know, everything that you does has an impact, and there's a direct correlation with that. Same with the chocolate that you buy, the clothes that you buy. If you're making a conscious effort to buy clothes that are not made with child labour, that means doing a hell of a lot of research, that means questioning a lot of companies, but you are then making a very substantial choice by deciding you're not going to spend your money on something that exploits young people and puts them at a disadvantage. Again, with what food that you buy, are you, you know, buying food that's in season, are you buying food locally, are you supporting the people that live in your community and live in your area? So I think many ways.
How has Schools Across Borders developed since you've attended last?
We never had anything this big. When I was part of Schools Across Borders, what we did was we linked with 3 schools, from what I can remember, and we brought Palestinians and Israelis over at separate times, and each, because we weren't able to bring them together, so we brought them at separate times, and we had discussions around identity, about language, about terminology. We had groups from the north come down to talk about the issues that they had faced due to Catholic or Protestant background and the impact that they had had. But it was very much focused on one end project, which was the Young Social Innovators. So I don't know if you're still involved in that. So our main focus was actually developing a project out of the discussions that we had had with both the Catholic and the Protestant schools from the north, as well as the Israeli and the Palestinian visitors that we had, and then developing an awareness project out of that. So it was just focused on the Young Social Innovators, whereas what I see today is far more kind of critical analysis of a whole broader range of issues, and it's also the young people are taking far more responsibility and more onus. We very much followed Darren's lead at the time, because it was new. Now we were obviously allowed and given space to explore, but the ability to set up your own NGO in your school is phenomenal. There's a lot of power in that, because you're taking responsibility, and with that you're developing a whole set of skills that I necessarily didn't have the opportunity to develop until a later stage, because I know people see sometimes transition year as a bit of a waste year, but I was just saying to Sophie earlier, it was the year that I got that I could make a difference. It was the year that I got that there was more than exams, there was more than school, that there was a whole world out there that I actually could have an impact on, and I didn't necessarily need to be the smartest or didn't necessarily need to be the most articulate person to do that. I just needed to have compassion and awareness and an openness for people, and I think there's a huge level of compassion in Ireland. We are still one of the first 5 countries to respond in an aid situation. So what happened in the Philippines last week, Ireland were in the top 5 countries to start sending money in, and that's individual donors. That's not an NGO, that's not anything, that was individual donors. We were the first of 5. And when you think how many countries around the world, that's still a really strong onus. We also have Concern, Troika, very strong, well-respected organisations that engage in countries. So I don't think it is all doom and gloom. I think there is still hope and there's still potential, and you just kind of need to keep at it and keep questioning things and not be okay with that's all we have, or not be, don't take things at face value, constantly question them and constantly push for it to be better and constantly push for your voice to be heard.
Do you think traditional charities that are more kind of coin in the box kind of operated, do you think they're still like effective and that there's a need for them, or do you think that more transparent kind of awareness aimed projects are more valuable?
I think there is a place for emergency-led organisations. I think the fact is there are people that are starving right now, today, and they need something now. So I appreciate the need for organisations to go in at that level, but I don't think that's enough. I think that on its own is a plaster, and a plaster on a broken leg, as in you're not gonna heal the leg. So inevitably, in 20 years' time, you will still be just giving them the bare minimum to live on, whereas you need to be meeting a need. I appreciate the needs need to be met, but then you need to be challenging, well, why is it that this is happening? And what is my lifestyle, or what are the choices that I make that can impact on that, because people often go, oh, well, that's over there and that's far away from me, but it's not. It's all happening in the same world, and we are all, you know, reliant on each other. We are all interlinked somehow, and there is a definite need to have far more like justice-led organizations and far more justice-led voices questioning, well, why is this happening, and holding politicians and holding charities to account. Like, for instance, where is all the money going? It should be very transparent. If I'm giving you 10 euro, is 8 euro of that going directly? Because I mean, I appreciate people need to earn a wage and people need to, you know, feed their families, but there needs to be far more transparent about where that is, and the need for sustainable development rather than development, and also an openness to what development means for other people. Because I might, if I was to, you know, walk into an African community right now and go, well, I think this and this needs to happen, that could be disastrous, because I don't live there, I don't know the people, I don't know the needs. Whereas if I would go and go, what is it that you need and how can I support you to achieve those needs? And I think it's more about appreciating and valuing the lived experience of people and then supporting them to develop in their own way, in the same way that we were allowed to develop and the same way we were allowed to, you know, to make choices that had an impact on our lives. So I think, yes, there is a need for support at the, like, definite support right now, but it can't be standalone. And I don't think it's enough for somebody to give 10 euro every month and pat themselves on the back and say, well, I did my bit, when they continue to make choices that have negative impacts across the globe.
Mm-hmm. And do you think our definition of justice is objective, or do you think we don't necessarily have the right to define what is just for other people?
Yeah, I think justice can be very subjective. I think if you feel that you were the one that was slighted, your notion of what will be a just result from a discussion is going to be very different than the person who, in the same sense, if you look at the Palestinian-Israeli situation, if you speak to both sides, they will both speak about justice over peace, actually, which I think is very interesting. You know, when... And I think it's an inherent thing for a human to seek justice. Even if you have small children playing, if a small child feels that something was taken from them wrongly, like, they will kick up holy murder because they feel there was a sense of injustice done to them. But within the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, if you speak to one side and another side, they will both have very different ideas of what justice looks like. And there are the needs to, you know, to compromise, but to respect somebody's bodily autonomy and also somebody's geographical autonomy and rights. So I think it is hard to look at justice objectively. I think it's almost actually impossible to look at it objectively. So all you can do is kind of take a step back and try and listen to everybody involved and allow them to make the decisions for themselves. And you support that in the same sense that you act as a mediator, so that you don't necessarily come with your own judgments and your own expectations, that you come to mediate a conversation or to support or facilitate two people coming together.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, so that's an interesting perspective on where we're going to go with our projects. So back to Ulston's.